Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
So what's happening to Mr. Mbeleni?
Yeah, I'm fantastic, guys. Can I just tell you that I have completely transformed my life?
Oh.
I have stopped drinking.
Ah.
It's till the end of March for now, but I'm probably going to extend it. I'm seven days dry.
So you started
8 days
today?
Dry.
Okay,
This time last week. But I feel fantastic. I'm sleeping better. I'm eating right.
What a man.
I feel on top of the world.
But you're looking good, Shmangs. You're looking like you lost some weight.
I've lost weight purely from just eating right. I haven't been
That's good.
Eating,
that's good.
That's good, bro.
Listen, that's impressive because, so how did you then, I know that on, I think it was Friday night, you were at Nasty C's birthday till like 5 a.m. So you just clean went through that sober.
Yeah, I didn't touch a drop. So what I did is that I had dinner like at normal time. I took a power nap. And then I went out. I mean, the shoot, we only got there at like 11:45. So I was there probably for about five and a half hours. Wasn't too bad. And the thing is, I was shooting most of the time. And in the downtown, at downtime, I had like a soda and passion fruit, a couple of them. Chilled.
Is it funny to watch everyone else get drunk? Because that looked like a turn up of notes.
Yeah, yeah. No, Friday wasn't too bad because I was actually working. Saturday I went to Kenzero's party in Maboneng, and that was quite odd because it was like people are getting drunk. So, I was getting a little irritable, but I just need to learn how to deal with people that are drunk when I'm not and not be a pain, also pain in the ass.
Yeah. Round of applause. There
well
you
done,
go.
Man. That's excellent.
Vaughn, have you made any revelations in the past 7 days?
Yo, not really, bro. I'm just trying to see the next 7 days. You know what I mean? No, but that's good, man. I've also just tried to pay a little bit more attention to my health, to be honest. But I've been sort of on that tip from the beginning of the year. It's just tough, man. I've been a little bit bad, to be honest, at doing it, but I'm trying.
Life kind of catches up then. This is what I find. Like, I'm pretty good at starting a habit, but then, like, today, I can only eat at 3 o'clock. So, like, then what must happen? 3 o'clock is the only open time that there's been to eat. And I'm not going to pause stuff that I have to get done to say, like, oh, no, I made a New Year's resolution. I have to eat at 1. Sometimes it's just not feasible. I envy people that make it feasible because some people that I interact with are like, cool, thanks so much. I will get back to you when I've taken my half an hour break. Because they are staunch. Some people are so staunch with eating and training, and I admire it. But it just doesn't seem... I feel like I was a bit of a douchebag if I had to behave like that.
Yeah, as well. I mean, what I learned also is that... So I've got a friend who... He literally gyms at the oddest hours of the day. But he was like, listen, Shmangs, you actually need to just fit it in. Just try... Take 40 minutes in your day. Mm. Doesn't matter when. Honestly, if you have a break between 1 and 2, take 40 minutes and smash a little session. And it doesn't have to be anything insane, but just get it done every day. And you'll just see the difference every day. So I think with the eating as well, don't punish yourself if you see Vaughn eating every day religiously at 1 p.m. and you can't fit in.
Yeah.
What you should do, though, I think, is maybe try to prepare at least 1 or 2 meals that you can eat as and when you go.
Yeah, I do agree that. Like, I started trying to, like, cook at night and then sort of pack the food for the day. That helps a lot because I don't have to go to the garage, buy a sandwich or buy a burger when
which is
temptation when you walk in there just to buy bad stuff. So, like, if you prepare it, you've got it, and then you're cool. The exercise thing as well, that's an important one. Like, someone told me once, like, even if you just wake up 40 minutes earlier, you know, it's not too bad to get a 40-minute jog and body weight stuff. So I'm also trying to do that, but you'll still find me turning up, though.
Can I tell you one last thing? Is that I made a pact to myself in December that I wouldn't make any New Year's resolutions or write anything on any board until Feb. And I think it's paid off. So I just touched out January. I got the year started. And then only this, like last week, I started writing everything on my mood board, like what I really want to achieve and how I want to achieve it, and all the things that I really want to get done in this month and for the rest of the year. I don't know, it's just worked for me because I wanted to assess the year first. You know, people just jump straight on it in Jan, and then, you know, by March they've already failed.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it's just worked for me.
Yeah, listen, it's tricky, but it's habits though. And you got to make or break them. I just don't understand why everything is so stacked against us. I mean, come on. Can Woolworths not put less sugar into their stuff? Like, can the garage not try and have a little bit more fruit and veg as an option? Because I find, like, it's very difficult to, like, actually find healthy stuff that's really accessible that isn't, like, plastered with sugar. Because I used to think, oh, that's great, get a date bar from Woolworths or whatever. That thing's got as much sugar as, like, a bar one does.
Yeah.
So I just feel like the odds are stacked against us.
They are. And the thing is, convenience is expensive. So you might even find a healthy option at Woolies, but it's ridiculously expensive. Yeah. So you'll find a little carton filled with, I don't know, blueberries and strawberries, and it's...
$40
Yeah, $40 Yeah. 40, 50 rand, and it's tiny. And you're like, oh my God, you know, I can actually prepare the same thing at home.
Yeah.
It'll be cheaper, exactly. But it's just not convenient.
It's annoying.
Definitely.
Yeah. Pies are like 14 rand. That's a good meal, yeah?
And they've got great specials, like 2 for 20 and a Coke. Yeah, and, you know what I mean?
You know? Yeah, I think it's at the engine at the moment. You get 2 lunch bars for 10 rand.
There you go, bro.
What a score. Oh, yeah. I want to kind of, how do we even begin here?
Kanye West, bro.
I'm trying to figure out, like, how do we set the context of the conversation?
The king. Mm.
So maybe there is no context. First of all, did anyone in this room download Tidal and sign up for 30 days free to get the album?
No.
Okay, I think that's good. Because it's the number one downloaded app in the world right now because everybody went to Tidal.
Yeah.
And when Tidal came out, I was like, I don't know. Then Rihanna forced everyone to get it. Kanye really forced everyone to get it. Beyonce forced everyone to get it. Okay, so no one in this room took it that far.
No.
But I say the word Kanye and go.
Like, I just want to ask you guys something, right? What do you guys think about the sort of precedent Kanye set now? Like, the way he handles the media, the way he operates, the way he moves. Do you think he's created, like, an ideology that young people looking to come up into the industry are going to try and follow? Or do you think that there's no place for somebody young coming in as harsh as Kanye has come in now at that stage of their careers? Do you think that they should wait till they become a Kanye to speak like this and act like this? Or do you think he's created like a new way of being within this industry?
Look, the reality is that, you know, I think some people are only sort of catching on Kanye now. I suppose with social media and the growth of social media, he's become more accessible to a lot of people. Kanye has been like this from the jump. Honestly, if you watch old interviews of Kanye when he was still on the cover as a producer, he was like, I'm the greatest producer in the world. I'm going to be the best. From the beginning. Remember the incident where he said George Clooney doesn't care about black people? Mm. It was like a national interview. Yeah. So it was like more than a decade ago.
Kanye's
always been this person.
He hasn't changed.
He hasn't changed at all. You know, maybe he's become a little more mature in some of in terms of how he approaches certain things. But I think in terms of being outspoken and the sheer self belief that he has, you know, it's exactly the same. I'm telling you, just go back and watch old clips. Old music videos where he, you know, where he'll have like real time footage, like exactly the same.
I think he is one of the greatest marketers alive. I mean, he has made Adidas cooler than Nike. Kanye West has done that. I think he even tweeted about it over the weekend, some article or whatever. He has done for Adidas stuff that Nike, I don't know who they're going to get to try and undo the damage that he's done to their brand. Do you think though that it's because people are drawn to arrogance? Do you think, you know, this metaphor of women like assholes? Do you think that he's just playing that out on a global scale across genders?
I think people are drawn to people that are bold about their dreams and you can visually see them achieving them. I think that's motivating. You know, anybody that sees that will be inspired by him.
But regardless, the people are the reason for his dreams coming true.
Yes, and that's also interesting. Like when you say he's the greatest marketer of all time, I wonder how long ago Kanye planned his career out. Like how he started thinking about how he's going to position himself in this market, how he's going to differentiate himself, all the things he wants to achieve. I wonder how long ago, because it feels like he's always been really, really good at what he does, and it's predominantly been in the music field. Mm. And because he's such a creative, he believes he can achieve anything within the creative industry, so fashion and acting and whatever. And now recently, I feel like he's realized more of what he wants to achieve and more of what he wants to be. And that's sort of when I feel he's planned out how he's going to achieve that. I don't think he's always had this vision. I think he's grown with himself. And now he's like, okay, how am I going to get in there? And that's when I agree with you. He's a genius because he created a culture that people have bought into, and it's unbreakable.
I think he has always known exactly what he wants. You know, I think all the greatest people, you know, whatever, whether in the creative sphere or professional athletes or whatever, but specifically, let's focus on the creative arts. like they have a goal. They want to be the greatest guitarist, or they want to be the greatest dancer, or whatever the case may be. It's just the steps of how to get there are what you figure on the way.
On the way there.
If you listen to College Dropout and you listen to Graduation, you will hear him talking about fashion. You'll hear him talking about how, you know what I mean, how he would like to lead fashion.
Yeah, he does.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
at the time when he was still wearing polo fleeces and stuff like that, he talks about that. And that is, gosh, like 15 years ago or whatever.
It is almost 2 decades.
Yeah, almost 2 decades ago. And now he's finally realizing that dream because of, obviously, you know, so with every album he's dropped, he's become more influential. He's more accessible. He is more... like open to a bigger market that is more willing to consume what brand Kanye is.
Because the way I see him is that he's positioned himself as this idea guy. Like he's the guy with ideas. Like that's what he keeps on saying. Yeah. I've got so many ideas, not enough resources to achieve. So he's coming across as this dude who's just got solutions for new fashion styles, new
everything,
entertainment. Yeah. Like he seems to be wanting to be that guy, the Walt Disney that he keeps on referring to. Like he wants to be that dude. So it's like, it's crazy. He wants to be, and he's not far off, man. Kanye is our modern day.
There is a belief that he has in himself that is unparamount. I will never forget.
Yeah.
And I just pulled up the story here. 3 years before he was on Oprah Winfrey's show, Oprah pulled up next to Kanye at a stoplight to ask about his car. They had the same model. And he said to her, I mean, what a sort of story is this first place? He said to her that one day I'm going to be on your show. And the day that he was on her show, 3 years later, after College Dropout had been so big and all of that, she said, people say that to me all the time, but you're the first person that's ever made that come true. This guy, I feel like he came out of the womb and he was like, I'm going to be the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
Which, I wonder though, what can we learn from that? What conversations can one have with oneself about believing in oneself that Kanye can actually play a positive role in your own life?
Yeah.
Because if we can take that away from him, this guy is truly great then. If he's able to instill his power in other people and we're able to take away from him and gain in our own personal capacity, that is legendary.
If you listen to the very, 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 it's my favorite Kanye song of all time, the very last song, Last Call, it's called Last Call, very last song on College Dropout. He talks about how... you know, like, absolutely no one believed that he could be a rapper. No one. Everyone was like, Kanye, you're like the greatest producer ever. And he talks about his trials and tribulations to get to the point where he could even release Dropout. He had to convince Jay-Z that he's a rapper. Jay was like, I mean, I love Ye, and he's a great producer, but I'm not sold on his raps.
Yeah.
And then he rapped, and he sent his mixtape to him, he sent to Dame Dash, he sent it to all these people who were like, nah. And finally, he took it there, and they were like, okay, cool, let's give him a shot. Yeah. And it was a huge success.
Yeah, he was saying things like he'd drop bars, like they'd just be in the studio, he'd just drop bars on a beat he made, and they'd be like, damn, who was that? And he'd be like, it was me.
Yeah.
Just to get in for them to listen to.
So, I mean, just to reflect on your question there, REA, I think it's actually such a rare talent that I'm truly, truly envious of. And this is one of the things I really wanted to touch on today. It's like, I think having self-belief is one thing, because you'll find that the least talented people have the craziest amount of self-belief, and that's how they succeed. And
it's usually what happens.
Yeah, and someone who's incredibly talented might not have that same self-belief. They always need reassurance from other people.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
that's
true. And I guess the more you see it as someone who doesn't have that self-confidence or that self-belief, the more you see it, the more it motivates you to unlock some of that potential. It's because as soon as that one, you unlock that one door, I think, then the world is your oyster, I think.
And I guess the more that he's seen this belief in himself paying off, I guess the more that he's bought into it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what I mean.
But it's about that initial step, which is, how are we doing with this?
Yeah, but like how
are you doing with this, Vaughn? Yeah. How are you at believing in yourself?
Yeah, that's what I was about to get to that. Like, it's weird to me. It's like, how do you balance believing in yourself and not coming
across
as a complete douche?
Do you think that you're good at it?
Douche? Good at what?
Believing in myself.
You know, I think I am good at believing in myself. I think I'm pretty good at it. I think where I tend to lack is to actually bet on myself.
Okay.
So I think I do believe in myself enough to know I can do anything, because I do have that attitude. I think I can do anything that that I put my mind to.
Yeah.
If I put my mind to something, I know I can do it, no matter what it is, right? I know I'll be able to figure out and do it well. But to bet on myself is the part where I'm working on. To say, okay, you know what, Vaughn, put yourself out there and make yourself believe.
Create something.
Create something with the belief that you know you can. Create something that that people can see. Cause, and it's not for people to see, it's for you to see and for you to then believe even more. Because that's exactly what Kanye does. He feeds his dream. He feeds it with the words he says. He feeds it on Twitter. He feeds it with the fights he has. He keeps feeding it. He keeps feeding his ideas. I will be. I will. You'll see. I am Walt Disney. He says crazy things. Until he goes and he releases an album, puts it on Tidal. Tidal gets bought all over the world. Kim Kardashian's emojis are all over the flipping world. Like, things that he starts doing, they start seeing the rewards from it. And then he goes, well, you see. Now he proves to himself. Because every single creative... No matter, every single creative I've ever met, always in some way, from someone or something, needs a, that's it.
Yeah.
They absolutely do need that.
He doesn't need validation from anyone. Yeah.
But Kanye does need validation from himself, because if he put out his album and it flopped, he would be in himself. He would just have disappointed and let himself down, and wouldn't have validated his own self-belief. But when he now, because he bets on himself, he wins, and then he goes, yeah, I told you. Look, you get what I'm saying? To himself. Because he's so about himself, he's so about achieving it, that he believes it, he bets on himself, and then he validates himself with his own work.
But let's bring it back to ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I won't even lie, I'm one of those people that I need to do it, I need to achieve it, and then once I've achieved it, I can tell myself, okay, you know what? You fucking created this, and you can do even better.
Yeah.
I need to, like, a simple example is if I'm playing social soccer on a Saturday morning, and I'm playing with guys that are pretty average, and I'm also a pretty average soccer player, but decent. And I believe, okay, if I score this next goal, I'm gonna have the greatest game. And that's what always happens. If I believe, but come, maybe I miss one shot. Even if it's the first 15 minutes, I'm just one, like, easy goal. I, like, beat myself up about it, that I can't get to that point where I'm like, you know, because I kill my own confidence, you know? So I need to learn how to, you know, once the chips are down, how to just get back onto it. Just, okay, stay focused now.
Bounce back.
Yeah, bounce back, and then score the next goal, just so that I can score a hat-trick by the end of the game. I'm just one of those people. And I guess, for me, I'm one of those people who just needs just one person to be like, no, man, that was chill. That was actually, it was a sitter, you missed it, but the next one is yours.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, sick. The next one is mine.
Yeah.
You know, I unfortunately don't have Kanye's in-your-face type of confidence.
Yeah.
I just don't have it.
I don't necessarily express my confidence or my self-belief in the way Kanye does, because I think he expresses it in a very arrogant and in-your-face type of way, which is perfect because it works for him, right? So I think everyone's got their ways it works for them.
Yeah.
I'm more internal. I'm more like sit with it and try, like, believe in myself and envision it.
He's out the stratosphere on it.
There's
a level to him that he just believes in himself to such an extent.
Yeah, 100%.
And what I really just wonder is how one can get better at doing that. I mean, if you had to put sort of Kanye West to being 100% in terms of believing in yourself,
I think betting on yourself.
But
you also don't.
It's got to be the action as well. So it's one thing to believe in yourself and your mind.
Yeah.
But if you don't leave your job because you're worried about leaving your job and going and becoming an entrepreneur, then you don't believe in yourself.
Enough.
Because then, no. Then the action's not there.
Oh, well,
then
right.
It doesn't count.
Yeah. It's actually just a bullshit story.
It doesn't count.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you're just saying, I believe in myself. I could be an entrepreneur. But you're not actually expressing it. He goes and he books out Madison Square Garden and launches the range.
Yeah.
He just does it.
See, this is what I mean, just to bring it back home, and I can appreciate, you know, you might not like some people, but I can appreciate, I once asked actually at Casper at his Fill Up the Dome press conference. I was like, dude, okay, how did this actually all come about? Just speak to me. And he said, I tweeted the one day. I woke up. He just woke up the one day and he tweeted that he's going to fill up the Dome. And then his manager called him and was like, what the fuck? Did you just see what you tweeted? He was like, yes. He was like, okay, I think it's crazy. Let's have a breakfast. They meet up for breakfast. And he's like, okay, cool. How can we do this? And then that was that's how they set the plan in motion.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So he was just like, you know what? I woke up one day and I want to fill up the Dome. Had he flopped? Had he put 9,000 people into the dome, it will still be a huge success, because it will still be like, my God, one person managed to, you know, fill up,
buy tickets, yeah,
buy 9,000 tickets, but did better, he filled up the dome. So I guess you just need to wake up and do it. You just have to. You have
like to. It's crazy, man. It's a fight that I think we'll fight all the time, because our lives are so geared around trying, like, wanting to be comfortable, right?
Yeah.
We're so geared about being comfortable because of the massive amount of suffering that the world has. And we see it all the time, right? So we're so geared to being comfortable that we create these comfort zones. But while we're in those comfort zones, our innate desires, and and if you're an ambitious person and you have dreams, those dreams are further than what your comfort zone is. They're in another place.
But wait. Kanye's comfort zone would be discomfort. That's his comfort zone, is that he's constantly re-engineering.
Exactly. Mm. That's exactly what I'm saying. So that's where I was going. Because now we're in our comfort zones, our dreams are in another space, or our goals are in another space. How do we change that? Because if you don't, you just remain stagnant in that zone. Because you settle for the comfortability because of what the bad the world has. But instead of thinking, okay, I'm lucky enough to have been in a comfortable position, but I know that as much as I am fortunate enough to be in this comfortable position, it might result in me not getting to where I need to go, because it could hinder that, because it could take longer, or it might actually make me more fearful in taking risks, because within that comfortable position, I acquire more and more responsibilities. So it's really about re-engineering your zones all the time until you find a space where you can achieve what it is you're looking to achieve. Maybe in small ways, though. Maybe you can, like, if you're interested in fashion, maybe you can get involved with it on the side. Or maybe you can start designing your own clothing and getting it cut by a designer. Maybe there's small ways you can start just doing different things.
But don't you think that we suppress our greatness because it actually makes other people uncomfortable? You know what I mean? So someone like Cristiano Ronaldo will go out and practice for 20 or however, for 16 hours a day, and then rest and whatever the case may be, because that he wants to be the greatest.
Mm.
But then someone else will be like, Cristiano is crazy. Why is he training for 16 hours? Mm. But what that dude is actually really doing is reflecting his inferiority complex onto them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I personally think that the reason why we don't achieve our greatness is because we are actually just A, scared to be better than our peers, and B, because it really also does just scare other people. You know, if I had to leave my job today, hypothetically speaking, it would freak a lot of people out. They'd be like, oh my God, what's happening? Where's it going to go? Some people will wish me well. Some people will be like, oh, you know, Mangi is starting his own thing. Mm. I bet you it's going to fail.
Yeah,
but that's how people are. Yeah, because they are scared to do it themselves.
But you see, Mangi, that's the thing. Like, without that, without people, without there being some kind of negative force or energy, there is no reason for self-belief. So why believe in yourself if everyone is just cool with anything you do, or anyone believes in you? Like, the point of self-belief is that, and this is why Kanye is such a beast, if you take it back to him, is because they told him he couldn't, but he believed he could. Mm. And the only person that believed he could was himself. And then not only did he tell himself he could, he went and he made it happen. He decided.
He pushed,
He pushed. He said, I'm not going to settle for your no. I'm going to record mixtapes. I'm going to drop bars. I'm going to do whatever I can for you to realize that I can do this.
But you see, so even with Kanye, he needed validation. He needed validation from his mom. So when he dropped out of college, you know, his mom, who was a professor, head of department at the University of Chicago, would have been like, you know, any other mom would have been like, Kanye, don't be crazy. Just finish your degree, and then it's like a fallback plan, blah, blah, blah. She said, no, cool. I'm going to finance your project. You can move back home. I'm going to finance your project. I'm going to get you the necessary equipment that you need. So she gave him that validation that he can do it.
Yeah.
And I think in order for anyone to unlock their potential, you need a bit of validation, even if it's just one
Bro,
person.
Agreed. That's why your circle is so important.
Yeah.
And the people you're with are so important, because those are the people that you're going to need throughout your whole life.
Yeah.
And Kanye has them. Trust me, he's got them.
And he's found them because he's earned people's respect.
Definitely. Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, and from when he started, he's got those people. So you've got to have someone with you that you can go to and say, listen, my heart really wants this. I need to do this. Mm. And you need that person to be objective enough to say, you know what? I think, go and do it. Go ahead. I'll be there for you. I'll support you. Mm. You need that. You do need that to progress. Everybody needs someone to have their back.
It's a powerful guy. It's fascinating to me that people have made Tidal the number one downloaded app in the world. You know what the most interesting thing is that I think, in as much as people like the music and the songs are great and everything like that, there is copious amounts of music in the world. And what he's managed to do is he's managed to people get to buy into a story and to buy into him.
Yeah.
Because even if that album was shit, even if those Yeezys actually look disgusting, people believe in him and his story.
Yeah,
and so anything he touches will turn to gold, which is just a level of unbelievableness that is unfathomable. Because maybe that song comes on the radio, and if you didn't know his voice, you didn't know him, you think it was shit.
But because it's him.
Because you know the story.
Because Kanye West...
He sold a story.
Yeah, Kanye West has created a culture, he's created a story, he's created like a lifestyle. People have bought into that idea of living.
Well,
and bro, people love it. People love him.
Very simply put, I think when you put on a pair of Yeezys or you wear that hoodie or whatever, you're projecting success, you know? So I see, whenever I see, it's quite weird. Like lately, whether I'm in the club or in the mall or whatever, and I see someone wearing a pair of Yeezys, I'm just like, geez, either that person's successful or that person's balling or whatever. That's my initial reaction. And that just tells you that the influence that the man Kanye West has.
I want to go back to university and just study this guy. I want to immerse myself in everything to do with him because there's so much to learn.
Yeah.
I think a lot of it's natural, but I definitely think that if people walk away with one thing from Kanye West, it's that you should just believe in yourself a little bit more and choose who you are validated by.
Yes. True.
And don't make that 1,000 people. Don't make that society, the society you've built in your head.
Yep.
Make that 1 or 2 people who you can actually trust.
And bet on yourself.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. He's probably still going to be in the news next week, so we'll discuss him again. So we did a good job this week.
It's too hard. It's too
hard. Let's go around the room and give me a powerful quote from you in a personal capacity that can inspire the world. Your own version of greatness or your own powerful words that can make the world a better place, and then your Twitter handle.
Okay. I'll start with saying we can all live a picture-perfect lifestyle. We just need to learn how to paint. Ed Vaughan, the poet.
Nice. If you don't start today, you'll never get it done, and you'll never get there. Ed Schmangs was there.
Power. There you go. These guys will be back next week for the GRT. It's every Monday just after 4:30. May the power of Jesus be with you in everything that you do. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.